Are banks doing everything they can to stop hackers from accessing your account?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Senators are looking at cybersecurity and data protection in the financial sector in a hearing today on Capitol Hill. That's fresh off the heels of a hack of Citibank's computer system, accessing thousands of accounts and other attacks, of course, as well. Lee Williams will speak at today's hearing, and he's president of BITS, a division of the Financial Services Roundtable, which serves the electronic banking industry. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
What are you going to say at today's hearing?
We'll say that the administration's comprehensive proposal for cybersecurity is an excellent opportunity to bring multiple industries, multiple sectors together. Financial services, like a lot of sectors, does a lot of work on its own. We need a little bit more of a comprehensive approach where private and public sector participants can get together on this effort.
You know, we've heard of so many attacks lately, Sony, Sega, then, of course, Citibank. Do banks take added precautions because so much money is involved?
Institutions spend literally tens of billions of dollars on security. Preventing breaches, detecting them when they occur, and responding, making sure that if we do have a breach, any financial cost to customers and any inconvenience is absolutely minimized.
But still, Citibank, you know, we're talking hundreds of thousands of accounts and customers who were affected by that. I mean, could you say that perhaps not enough money was put forth in security?
I wouldn't put it in terms of financial investment. I would say there is more to do. There's more to learn. So individual institutions are constantly improving their practices. At the industry level and organizations like mine, we try to work together to bring up the standard of the overall industry. There certainly is more to be done.
Lee Williams, BITS President, Financial Services Roundtable. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mostly higher at the moment, about 1% on average. The Federal Reserve begins its two-day meeting today. Analysts looking at how optimistic the Fed is for the rest of the year. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 76 points to close at 12,080. Consumer Reports is out today with its new reviews of Chrysler, and the automaker gets mostly praise. Just 2 years after it emerged from bankruptcy, Chrysler appears to have found new gas. But as Marketplace's Eve Trow reports, Chrysler is missing out on one growing market, small cars.
David Champion directs auto testing at Consumer Reports. He says it's no surprise Chrysler's vans, sedans, and SUVs are selling well.
The cars have become competitive. They're really quiet, comfortable. Driving performance is much better.
But Chrysler hasn't overhauled all its cars. Its only compact car is the Caliber, which has basically stayed the same since its launch 6 years ago. Champion says it wasn't popular then, and it's definitely not now.
It's just unfortunate with timing that small cars are the vehicle of the moment. It's a tough situation for Chrysler.
Japanese automakers usually dominate the compact field, but as they face disaster at home and Americans want to use less gas, the competition's wide open. The Ford Focus and Chevy Cruze have moved in as top sellers. David Champion says Chrysler has to wait it out. It can't design new, smaller cars now because its Detroit headquarters no longer calls the shots. Chrysler's new Italian owner, Fiat, wants to use its own models for compact cars. It could be 2 years before those are ready. I'm Eve Trow for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ. For the latest business news, go to marketplace.org and click on the newsletters tab to get business and economic news delivered to you daily, right now to your inbox.
This week, the authoritarian Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad pledged constitutional reforms there, but protests continue. Our Economy 4.0 series has been examining the ways the economy can better serve more people, and today we look at a Middle East project that strives to be sustainable environmentally and financially. Marketplace's David Brancaccio reports from a model city right outside of Abu Dhabi.
The doors are closing. Please mind the doors. In this new suburb called Masdar City, electric-powered driverless pod cars move people around using painted magnetic stripes. There are 12 of these suppository-shaped pods in service, and I suppose that makes this a podcast. But there are no firm plans for more, even after initial talk of bringing in thousands to what was designed as the UAE's citadel of sustainability.
Masdar is a learning experience at the end of the day.
This is supposed to become the world's first carbon-neutral city in a country with one of the highest per capita carbon footprints in the world. With oil prices high, the government here still has plenty of money to build. But in the wake of the 2008 economic collapse, one crucial ingredient is drying up: international customers for the real estate.
The days of, you know, we'll build and they'll come are pretty much over. And I think Abu Dhabi has realized that.
Middle East investment and real estate expert Saud Masood is CEO of SM Advisory Group.
For them, it's a question of, do we still throw good money after bad in a slowdown?
That's Masdar Real Estate, but the money is still flowing briskly to Masdar's alternative energy projects. Among their ventures, solar systems that produce energy for hours after sunset. Frank Wooters is the director of Masdar Power.
Even with the crisis, there is still demand for power. So we have not really been affected.
Abu Dhabi is under pressure to find a sustainable business model for all of Masdar to go along with its environmentally sustainable aspirations. The oil that buys prosperity and social peace won't flow forever. And the enduring hope is for Masdar City to become a hotbed for figuring out what the post-oil future might be. In Masdar City, I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
And finally, you could have a tough time getting a cheesesteak today in the city famous for them, Philadelphia. It's not a beef about beef or even cheese. The company that makes sandwich rolls used in many shops has been hit by a strike. While a federal injunction has drivers going back to work today, the backlog could affect deliveries, meaning your cheesesteak could become low-carb. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. On Twitter, at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The Egyptian government needs to come up with some new housing. It has to be affordable. They need it fast, so they're borrowing time-tested designs.
It is a way something like the kibbutz.
Oy. I'm Kai Rizdal, creating communities and deserting the Nile. Next time on Marketplace, we'll have the day's business news and the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.